Good morning, Dr. Brass Tacks. This is Lisa Gale. I'm with you until 1:30 p.m. today. The number to call, 430-1790, 434-1790, and the WhatsApp, 266-4862. We have a number of matters on the table. I'm sure you want to engage today, and I'll be looking forward to hearing your calls. Some of you from Barbados listening in, as well as some of you over and away. We have matters relating to the economy, social issues, religious issues, a number of issues you raise every Thursday, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you so that we can have a conversation about those respective issues. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. We have our first call on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay. That is nice to hear. Well, I'm glad I was the first out so that I could discuss what you don't really want to discuss and get it out of the way. Some people asking the question of what someone asked me to ask if the government have anything in place for, like, if you have to get a tsunami.
Okay.
You know, these tidal waves coming in, really kicking Jenny and then type of things.
Yes.
Right. So he's asking me to, if the government have anything in place.
Okay. So the Department of Emergency Management, for which all matters relative to natural disasters, etc., would fall, does do a tsunami warning and training session with persons on the West Coast annually. As part of the Chamber of Commerce in my time, we were invited as representatives of the private sector. If you mean a whole national response initiative, I'm not aware of it being broad-based beyond the West Coast, but they are doing some modifications to the existing work under the emergency management response, and I'm sure tsunamis have been captured.
Like, if somebody, like people, you know that they really got, like, you can't predict anything, like how you predict the storms and thing.
Yes.
Right, so people want to know, like, if, because I hear a fella ask me, if he don't, don't Austin or any of them places that don't below, you know, sea level, it would say. What if then things strike? What you can do?
Right, it's a good question. As I shared, the Department of Emergency Management does interact with the DEOs in the respective parishes. Has he reached out to his DEO, or he hasn't had that discussion?
Hey, that's an ordinary person.
No, but I mean, we are all as ordinary as we come. We have a responsibility also to speak to the persons in our constituency who look after those matters. And not even in terms of parish, but there are several DEOs across the landscape of Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
So that when, as we so regularly are accustomed to, when a hurricane is coming, they give us a little bit of tips in collaboration with the same Department of Emergency Management.
Okay, well, I tell him that, well, the best thing to do is start believing in God, right? Trusting God, because I see somebody send something to my WhatsApp, and one of the countries that has got the tidal waves, one of those, can't remember what country it was, something was coming, and they're venting, and it was Muslim, mind you. They run into their place of worship and they start to pray, not into Muslim and like Islam prayer, but they start praying to Jesus, and so that the thing stopped.
Okay.
Right, the thing came, right? So that was a very miraculous situation. And what I would say, right, is that this thing, faith, is really something that people have to look into, because the people ain't really have faith. Even the world, it seems to run by fear. what you fear, the Bible says, that's which you fear. It is a part, I think, in Job, that which I fear fall upon me. So it is a real truth. I sorry I couldn't get myself explained in these arts. You all didn't get. And I think YouTube is a very good place to where you will find a lot of these information, but you got to look at these things with an open mind. Spirituality is a real thing, and that there are things that you can control, and there's things that you just bring upon yourself because of negative energies, right? But what I would explain myself today with is when you said last week about dabbling, I don't really dabble. It will appear that way, but what happened to me is something that has happened, that is going on. It's a universal thing. I just get caught up in it. It's like a wave, and I just get caught up in it. But I know it will look like I'm dabbling, but I do get these things just happen like if it's a season. And I hear somebody say that it's wrong, September and October, that you will get those spiritual happenings. You know, it's something like a vibration that is going on. So it ain't like it is be dabbling. So I don't want the listener to think that I some wicked, evil sorcerer or something like that. But okay. I just want people to know that they do have that spirituality is real. And you have energies that you can tap into. But I warn you that if you go on YouTube too, you will see what you call targeted individuals. And I know that is a fact, because just for being having these psychic powers, you can be attacked, right? Okay. And you ain't gonna see the people that are attacking you because they're using technology and so on. So that you all could do some research on.
Okay. Thank you so much for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Brass Tacks, we have Dennis Johnson in the studio. We have someone on the line. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Gabe. A couple of the things here. The first has to do with a gentleman who was talking to the moderator in Korea yesterday. And he was trying to get over the point that he didn't get the role of Dr. Vinish was one to inform the people of the amount of people that would be laid off. And I am one of those people who agree with that caller. I think Dr. Greenish should leave that role to the politicians or to the Prime Minister and Dale Marshall. I was wondering if it was a white economist down there, if he would take on the same role that right now that Dr. Greenish is taking on, informing the population about this, of the amount of people who will be leaving work or getting sent home. The second thing has to do, again, I would like to also to know that Dr. Grace, know that when you lay off people, there are three factors that you have to take into account. One is the factor of people going into a state of depression. Identifying comfort, the same people will find that using alcohol and hard drugs were part of their stress relief. The second one is you'll find young men will find the comfort of leaving their home the one that does would most be suiting than staying at home. Now, I will ask you, have you any programs? I'm not talking about the programs for people who can get $5,000 from the bank. Are there programs set in place for what might happen to these people who cannot really face the reality of getting laid off from work?
Okay, just two responses. You said that you would not have rather Dr. Greenidge be the one.
To inform the people, though.
Prior to Dr. Greenidge,
Leave that road to the politicians.
Right, and prior to Dr. Greenidge, who would have come on Monday, I would have heard the Prime Minister give some, not all of the specifics, but a little detail about persons going home, and that was not actually her first mouthing on that subject. So you're talking about the specifics of the
number
layoffs.
Of people. That's right.
The second point was, is there an entity that can assist persons? There is mention of a unit that is to be set up to assist persons who would have lost their employee and who would want to be able to. I'm not sure if that is the same as the retooling unit, because they're also going to be doing some training widespread across the public service, not only for persons who've lost jobs, but I think they're looking at this whole retooling effort. So it does have a certain level of comprehensive plan in the movement going forward.
Uh-huh. The other thing, Ms. Gill, is that some time ago, just before elections, we had an argument. This scoot, Master came in the shop. I was listening to them, really. I wasn't taking part of the argument. And he and this, what you call, a man who had this spill of alcohol started arguing, and they were arguing about politics. So
that he had alcohol in him?
No, the other gentleman had his fill of alcohol, not the schoolmaster.
Right, okay, so one person was under the influence.
Right.
Okay.
So you look at the school teacher, look at the what you would call the drunken man, and told him that he who stands tall, stands tall above them all. Mm-hmm. I turned around and I said, with all respect, sir, you are perfectly right. But he who stands tall above them all, when he falls, he hits the hardest. And you should check Isaac Newton's first law of gravity. I say, let me tell you something. Whenever this government falls, the gravitation force is going to be so hard that the whole country is going to shatter into pieces.
Whoa.
That's right.
So you're hoping for this fall to come
soon?
I'm
not hoping for that.
So that you can get one of your parties back in?
which
the Green Party? You've changed so many parties, so I'm not even so sure which party you...
Which one you're talking about?
You have as your first one.
The first one?
No, you have which several one? Parties, so I'm not even sure which party it is that you want this party, this current administration, to fall, so that you can get one of your parties coming.
I was just joined that reference to the gentleman. Both not themselves.
But I'm talking to you as well, and I'm asking you how soon do you want them to fall, so
it's
that you can get your party in?
I ask you, which of the parties is my party?
Right, and I'm telling you that you have had so much affiliation with so many parties that I can't speak for you.
Okay. What you should have said, that I do like mm-hmm. your parties. I do, be quite honest with you, because I don't know if you noticed, but years ago I was a member of the Democratic Party, but I haven't done me anything, but I just say that I need
going
to branch
to a
out.
Third party. Okay.
No, I need to branch out. I need something beside that, and I was finding that they were not fulfilling my promises, really, truly. I was looking at things in a different direction. And you all have a nice day, Lily.
Thank you so much, sir. This is Dr. Brass Tax. We have another call on the line.
Good morning, ma'am.
A blessed good morning to you, sir.
Greetings and salutations to your good self. How is your good self and with your gifted knowledge? However, ma'am, we keep on hearing two key words. The two words that we hear quite regularly, rebuilding and restructuring. I do not know if one has to restructure to rebuild or rebuild to restructure. But I know that you would be willing to explain. That being my preamble, I am appealing to the powers that be to help the ambitious farmers by removing all the now unwanted willfully planted river tambourines so that there will be more lands available for the landless, including the good agricultural lands that has now become forced. We don't need the return of the first colonizers to deforest our idle lands. As a reminder, it took them 40 years. We are gifted peoples. And because, in my opinion, of our pride, what was truly ours has become a product of other countries. And that is the grapefruit, which was originated in Barbados in the late 1700s. We can also have acreage of the cherries. It is a fact that one Barbados cherry gives you all the vitamin C you need for in one day. It is unsightly to see the lands at Waterford, the Bell, and Law Estate, which the prisoners once were, now lay idle as in force. I am more pleased, ma'am, to see the interest being placed on the state of the economy, asking every man, jackhammer, to get on board. As the new government of the Maltese administration have to make serious adjustment to the Prime Minister's astute leadership, at this point, speaking as a layman with limited intelligence, I like to see it now, as it's now evident that it is now fully cemented that there is a joint association with the Barbados Police Force and the Defence Force. A policeman is trained to protect law and order. It takes over $5,000 to train a policeman. And due to the fact that there is a shortage of manpower in the ranks and file of the Royal Barbados Police Force, it's my personal opinion that it's a waste of human resources to have trained police stationed at Government House and be appointed to be chauffeurs for certain dignitaries, which should be replaced by members of Defence Force. And with the past downgrades inherited by the last administration, causing our country to be almost bankrupt, with the present state of the economy, all eligible politicians that are qualified for a pension that lost their seats last election should have to wait until reach the age of 65 or until there are signs of growth in the economy. Over to you, Gustav, for your response, ma'am.
Thank you, sir. There's actually, I had a chance to listen to the last sitting of the, it was around 6 o'clock on VOB yesterday evening, hearing a piece of the Senate, and Senator Caswell Franklin was talking about the misrepresentation or the misinterpretation of the legislation relative to pensions and pension, when a person can access their pension. And I've always known it to be that even if you have qualified in terms of your number of years, you still have to wait to retirement age to access that pension. So he said that subsequent to a ruling or a change by former Prime Minister Errol Barrow, that this has always been misinterpreted. This is the first time I've actually heard that being said, because when we were doing training in the public service, we were told that 10 years give you qualification, but access, you have to be at pensionable age. So it would be good to get a person to do some kind of qualification of interpretation, because if one person is saying it is not accurate and the government has done it all these other years this way, then it begs the question, who is really accurate here? Because I've never heard that you could access that immediately. Only, in fact, the carve-out is for politicians who can actually access as soon as or shortly thereafter the end of their sojourn, then they can access. But the typical public servant usually has to wait until pensionable age. So that one was interesting, sir. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Gill.
Hi, good morning.
Do you subscribe to this notion of the lost decade?
I think that there are a number of things over the years that have gone untouched. And I'm not a politician. I'm not a member of any party, and therefore I don't necessarily use the language of the politicians. So that would be my response to you.
Can you point to anything positive happening in Barbados over the last 10 years?
Well, I lived in Barbados over the last 10 years, and many positive things happened in my life, in my personal and professional life. So, of course, yes, I can think of many positive things happening in Barbados in the last 10 years.
So the Prime Minister is not correct when she speaks about the last decade?
The Prime Minister is speaking to the matters that relate to the political landscape, and not only just the political landscape, but from a governance perspective, the Prime Minister is also appealing to the mass. And don't forget that the Prime Minister has a mass and a base. And the Prime Minister is also speaking in political terms. If you want me to break it down and look at the economy and then look at structure, look at strategy and those type things, there are a number of missed opportunities in Barbados, I can tell you for sure, over the last 10 years. But you would not see me on a platform talking about a 10-year lost decade. Leave that to the politicians.
But this statement was made at the UN.
But the Prime Minister is well within her right to make this statement.
She's well within her right to make this statement.
The Prime Minister feels there was a lost decade, and the Prime Minister has mouthed it on several occasions. You're asking me to break it down, and I'm telling you, you wouldn't hear it from me, but you would hear it from a politician. And the Prime Minister knows what she's speaking of.
So the persons in the last administration should counter by pointing to the positive things that took place the last 10 years.
If they so desire.
All right. Another question. What is the significance of newscasters using the Prime Minister's full name?
I really don't know, you know, because we've not had, and it's an interesting point, I thought of it the other day. I don't know if it's because she has short terms or what, but I remember on occasion there are many newscasters that said the Right Honourable Owen Seymour Arthur. But that was not as consistent as persons are saying Mia Amor Motley, if that's what you mean.
So you believe it has some significance?
No, I just think that because people have heard Mia Amor for so many years, that they have latched on to that and added that to the last name. Actually, what's the significance? I wouldn't use the term in that way, but there are many people who refer to the Prime Minister as Mia because she has been affectionately known by her first name. But I hear a lot of newscasters.
Every newscaster, almost every newscast.
Does it bother you? Does it bother you?
Newscasters use their full name.
It bothers you?
It doesn't bother me, but I find it rather strange.
Okay.
The last Prime Minister, nobody, I never heard anybody using his full name.
We've used it once or twice.
I've heard people using his full name.
Okay. His middle, the former Prime Minister is Frandel Jerome Stur, and that has been called a few occasions. I think when biographies are being called out, or when you're reading the Prime Minister's bio, you may call the full name. But I have noticed that there are newscasters that do call the current Prime Minister by her full name.
But you don't attach any significance there.
I don't. I suggested to you. I posited that it is possible because it is short.
All right. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Down to brass tacks. Number to call, 434-1790. We have a caller on the line. Good morning. Down to brass tacks. Good morning. Down to brass tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Sister Lisa.
Hi, morning, sir.
I want to elevate you for at least about a week.
Elevate?
You are... Huh?
Elevate?
Yeah, you can elevate you to a position.
Okay.
You are a leader of an organization.
Mm-hmm.
You had a board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And decisions were made. You as a leader got to discuss the decision to your clientele. You feel that you should get all the licks if licks is supposed to be shared?
To some extent, yes. As the spokesperson for the organization, that's where the questions are posed. You are the person responsible for making, you know, answering, etc.
But you're one that make the decisions. You sit among your colleagues and we come to a consensus where this is the best thing for our organization.
There's a key word that you use there. You started saying you are the leader of the organization.
Yeah.
So leaders take on the brunt of responsibility, whether to do with dealing with the public, dealing with the press, dealing with the stakeholders. Of course, there are some other roles for which the other persons within the team can cover, but the main role and responsibility is to face the music.
So this is my opinion. I'm glad that my premise is a small, bony woman.
You mean literally?
Literally, that she is a small, bony woman, that she can take the blows that I don't know what to call it.
But you know, I must say, though, the blows are not physical, and therefore her size does not matter. So let us manage what we say and how we say what we say.
Okay. And if it was physical, she might be able to hold some. She might be able to hold off all, but she can hold some.
In a previous conversation, she did say that her back was broad, and therefore she is willing to.
I got a little gym that I can virtually come and trench yet.
Okay.
But I just sit down and listen sometimes to some of these Democrats. Why all this wishing is bad for this country? Why?
Before you even go there, you said you want to elevate. May I still waiting for this elevation? Because
to Ms. Motley.
Oh, you mean to lead in the country? Oh.
Well, that's different. So you said the organization, which means many countries. You see how it went, how it dropped, my leader.
Okay. I lead an organization right now, and therefore I didn't see it as an elevation. But a prime minister for sure. Yes.
But to be honest, I deserve sitting and grow. I can save the electricity though when certain DLP supporters coming. I turn off my radio and I hope that I don't miss some good points.
How do you know that somebody is a DLP supporter? Because they have a different view and perspective from yours?
I was one. I know a lot of voices.
So you know the thinking, or you know?
Huh?
Is it that you know the thinking of the?
Yeah. I know how I use it to think.
Oh, okay. What is this thinking? Help me. Let me in on this.
This thing is looking for myself and my friends, and not for a country.
And this is attributed only and solely to the Democratic Labour Party ethos.
For what you saw in the last 10 years.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you very much, mate.
Thank you so much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. We have a number of callers on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, Tom. Good morning. I'd just like to make 2 quick points.
Okay.
First of all, about the Honourable Prime Minister calling her full name. I don't think that is such an issue, because you could say it, right Honourable Mayor Amar Motley, in 2 seconds flat or 2.5 seconds. That ain't anything that didn't take
the shortness
over half an hour or anything. And my next point, ma'am, you there?
I'm still here listening to you.
My next point is that there's a gentleman who phones in from, I think he said he's from St. John.
Okay.
I think people have been saying the DLP cannot make a comeback, but that ain't true. If that gentleman, whoever he is from St. John that is calling, was to get him on board with the party, I think the party will spring back and make a tremendous comeback. Because that gentleman, when I listen to that gentleman, he's very focused, he's very sharp, he's very knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found about him is that his voice is almost as close as the late Prime Minister who represented St. John. I think that the DLP now should send out a SOS to get that gentleman from... Something was mentioned about Becky, from St. John or something so. But I think there's a need for an SOS from the DLP to get that gentleman on board, and they would make a tremendous comeback. That's my contribution, ma'am.
Okay. The resurgence of the Democratic Labour Party in focus. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. You're on the air, 10 seconds in. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Okay, fine. Let me say, last week when I made my contribution, when there was a spike little thing at the top, I noted the station made an apology, and it's also accepted. I'd like to start by saying that.
Yes, thank you so much, sir. It was me, although my lovely producer took full responsibility, as a leader should. It was at me. So I thank you for bearing with me and continuing to speak as you so eloquently did last week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right, but I think I believe the top of the my comments were missing.
I hope you don't want to repeat them now.
No, you mean the top of the comments?
Yes.
No, because I said that I was glad to see Mr. Graham Vaughan was making strides even if I don't refer to that one.
Oh, yes, yes. I think that was heard in the repeat, but I'm not so sure. It is. You go ahead then. Go ahead. Sure.
Repeat, right?
Go ahead.
Right. As I said, I'm very glad to see that he's making, some progress.
Yes.
And right as a member of the Grassroots program.
Yes.
Now, I used to like to hear Mr. Cadzel Franklin over the years. But I find in a lot of times, he's making a lot of, I don't know if you call it entertainment, but he's making a lot of comments that when you do a good analysis of it, of them, they find a bit wanting.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember some time ago when he spoke about, he said that the government, when they replaced the road tax with the tax on petroleum, is a tax grab. And he also went on to say that the fact that the kerosene was included proves the point. Because old people use the majority of the kerosene to cook. And he never saw a stove on the road as yet. But I could remember sometime in the Sunday, Miss Maria Bradshaw, she brought out a story that said that a move is afoot, to rearrange the kerosene issue, because many people were turning up. The fellows that use diesel, like she identified them, like route taxis, minibuses, trucks, utility vehicles, etc., were going to gas stations and doing what they call half and half. Half diesel, half kerosene oil. Wow. And the management had to put a new system in place because it was saying, it's causing problems for them, right? And then some of the commuters were saying that when you do it like that, you save a lot of money. Right? Because the kerosene retail at 130 and the diesel at 221.
Mm-hmm.
So you could save a lot of money on it. So I dismissed both of those. Then is the next issue in 2017. The OADB new report stated that the contributions of tax revenue in Barbados, the total revenue, the taxes is 95%. He said that it's 95% is taxes only. He spoke about the direct taxes contributes about 37%, and the indirect tax 58%, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the non-tax revenue a mere 5%. Right. The report also went on to say that since 2013, the government imposed several taxes on the Barbadian public. So I'm saying all of this just to say that Mr. Franklin, as I said, when you scrutinize some of his comments, there seems to be more entertaining. And I noticed a lot of the DLP callers, but who calls to this program, tend to listen to him in the Senate. But I know Mr. Franklin is better than this. There's several others that he's making, even yesterday when he spoke, but I would not touch that. I said I would just say, I commented already when he spoke about the 5%, and he talked about giving people salary increases at the bottom and the top. I dealt with that some time ago, and now I just dealt with the one when he said about the kerosene. So I just like to say, and the guy called earlier, and he was asking you several questions. He could have spent his time and highlight to Barbadians what the DLP had done over the last 10 years and the previous caller or two ago, when he said that the man for the half Ekibeki. But I would like to see him on the platform. You know why? Because he's not dealing with any issue. He spoke last week, Mr. David Ellis, And it was all about nothing, a lot of entertainment. He did not bring any issues, and he misled Barbados. Mr. Ellis, I don't know if he didn't pick up. He said that the dance administration sent home 1,800 people. But then later, another caller called and said the same thing that the former administration sent home. They sent home 5,000 people. 5,000, the last administration sent home. So, yes, it was very good, good listening, because it was a good comedy act.
Where you got your facts on the 5,000?
From the 5,000?
Yes.
They were over the initial rate. When they sent home, the initial people that went home, right,
mm-hmm.
were 3,000.
Sorry.
Then they were supposed to send home another 501 before they had a 19-month fiscal strategy. 501 is supposed to go home with them. And then you had attrition. You had over 2,000 to go over, 2,300 and something to go over, to go home, to lose the, well, true attrition.
Those figures, no, it didn't come to 5,000. In fact, when we looked at the numbers, there were persons who were sent home, but there were significant rehires.
But no. This is something different. This is a different argument you're getting into. I'm saying that what they agreed, those are the numbers that they agreed with the IMF, called the IMF, this is the...
What I'm saying is that it didn't materialize. Yes, 5,000 people did not go home from the public service.
Okay, let's agree that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The initial agreement they had, that is the total they supposed to send, agreed to send home, over the 5,800 and something. They never sent home the ones for the 501 from the statutory corporation that helped put further pressure on the economy. Mm. And I don't know about the attrition, because attrition is when you die and you will not, or when somebody leave or something, you wouldn't replace them. So
that
I don't
happened.
Know
a lot of people did not, a number of organizations suffered as a result of not having any replenishing. I can confirm that for sure, because...
Well, right, but so if the initial thing was, as I said, to do over 2,000, so that would have been the... I know the ones that they probably didn't send home, not the probably, they didn't, was the 501 from the statutory corporations, right? Okay. But that's what helped put the economy in further peril. And then when you had this, prior to this last general election, the government brought on people, because in 2016, the government wages bill was $717 million, and last year's wages bill was $778 million, and an additional $61 million. So they created all the issues in the country. You know, they created all the country. I remember Professor Frank Allen said to them, before the election, do not go and spend wildly, or not you collapse the whole economy. That's what they had done. Collapse the whole economy. And Barbados, like, they don't understand the severity of the situation, because Barbados could not borrow. They had a high debt. They could not borrow. They had basically no foreign exchange, because the amount of money that they had to spend in to pay foreign bills. They had the one in June, and basically they left them with about $100 million. So that's why the government had to go off immediately to get some funds to prop up the 9 days, and he went to election in 24th of May. There was no... Huh?
You don't mean 9 days, you mean a lot
90,
more days.
90. Okay. Right. Right?
Okay.
Good. So that's what collapsed the whole thing. So these guys are funny. The DSP coming in, don't have any issues. They're uninformed. And yes, it's glad to hear them on the radio, because it's a good laugh you're getting. You know, they need to get information. That's what they need to do. I would like to see on the platform, because you help keep out the help keep up with these older government. Okay?
I want to thank you for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks.